on. Did all that other stuff not appear? Okay, well, praise the Lord. I'm not going to start over. That was all so good. So anyway, but no, the spiritual world has a tangibility. There's something, there's a real substance to the spiritual world. And when we're praying into the to God, of course, God's in heaven, and we're praying, all these things have already been provided for us. And this is what Evelyn was talking about. So when we're praying, we're actually bringing in these invisible things that we can't see with our eyeballs. We're walking in an invisible dimension, and we're pulling those invisible things down into our seen world. That's why we walk by and not by sight. So what I want to talk about tonight, and I want to talk about the role of faith, but really faith is too vast of a topic to just, you know, like last night, Ken, you missed it, like, because as far as my teaching, I had so much to teach. All I could do is give a broad scope. I just went from, you know, Exodus, and really, I wanted to end in Revelation, because, you know, the last chapters of Revelation talks about the healing of the leaves, or the leaves on the trees are for the healing of the nations. Even at the very end, God's still talking about healing. He talks about healing at the beginning and just all the way through. And we went through there, and I did the best I could. I listened to it. Had a few misquotes and things in there. It just drives you nuts as a pastor. Like, oh, that's not where that scripture's at. It'll drive you nuts when you hear yourself teaching. But the overall message was this review. And I realized with faith, I could do the same thing, but I wouldn't do it justice. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to narrow in, and I'm going to be done by 8. Because I'm respecting your time. It is, you know, it is wet out, and I want to get you guys home. And prayerfully and hopefully we'll be back tomorrow. Amen? Amen. All right. So, but I want to talk about tonight first, and I'm glad to have this on tape. I may do a whole series on faith. How do we get faith? So you're saying, well, that's great, Brad, you know, faith. I can, it all, it's, you've already got it. Everything's yours, and you leave here empty-handed, or you don't get what you pray for, or whatever it is, and we don't want that to happen. You say, well, how can I get faith then? You know, I desperately need faith. Everything in the kingdom works by faith. Is that true? Yes. Yeah, it is. Paul said, and you can put that up, Ephesians 2:8. He said, we are saved, how? By grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any woman should boast, or man, okay? It says, we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. Are we made for good works? Absolutely. In fact, when we get this thing right, and you talked about rest today, I have had the most restful walk with God as busy as a beaver before, because the Spirit, it wasn't me working, it was Jesus working in me. And I've done a few little things and wore myself out because I was doing it, right? Key isn't not doing something. Rest is being in the Lord. With Jesus, every day is the Sabbath. Everything we do, we can, if we learn to do it, everything we do, we can do it in the Sabbath. I can preach in the Sabbath. I can lay hands on the sick in the Sabbath. I can raise my family. If I learn how to walk in God's peace and in his rest, everything I do, I am convinced Paul was the busiest man in the world, right? But he was doing it at rest. He was doing what the Lord wanted him to do. We get out of sorts in this thing when we quit walking by faith and we're trying to do it ourselves. It wears our flesh out. It wears us out. We're busy in the flesh. Because this thing works by faith. So when Paul says we're saved by grace through faith, Jeff did a wonderful job teaching chapter 5 how everything we have, God has given us by grace. That's our position. And this word saved and salvation, as we've talked about and we've proven, it means so much more than just going to heaven. In fact, often that's, going to heaven's not even in mind when the word is used. You know, someone's drowning and they get healed, or the same word, saved. So any aspect of your salvation is going to come by faith. It's not going to come by works. And so we have to trust God that it comes by his grace. Amen? And that even is your holiness. Do you believe that God wants you holy? Absolutely. The old covenant failed. Couldn't do it. They had an outer. Read Matthew 23. That is Christ's summation of our failure. You know, the hypocrisy of trying to be holy on the outside while the inside, you're just a bunch of dead men's bones. And Paul, and Jesus just really shows the failure of that. In fact, the more I read the book of Matthew, the more I see it was Jesus's denunciation of the old way. The old wineskin had to be removed because there was new wine coming, and the old wineskin could not contain this new wine. And as sons of the kingdom, we are even made holy by this grace through faith. Everything. Yes, God wants to make us holy, but it's a whole new way. It's the way of faith. So we know we need faith. We know everything works by faith. Well, then how do we get faith? And that's really pretty simple. Turn it over in your Bible. This is the new Calm Brad, by the way. The new and improved Calm Brad. It'll last. I'm really staying focused because I really do want to teach. And like I said, the importance here is the information. That's you need the word. You need the information, and you can study it. And I think I got you on a good path tonight. If you guys listen to me tonight, not because it's Brother Brad, I actually took the outline itself. All the material was already in my heart, but I took the outline from one of Brother Hagin's books because it was already outlined. It made it easy for me. I just chunked it out because I don't have his notes in here. I just have the outline because really, it's not a new topic, right? There's nothing new under the sun. This stuff's been talked about before. But if you listen to me tonight and you listen to the Word of God tonight and you do these things and apply these principles, you will grow by leaps and bounds. You will increase and because you'll know what to focus on, how to focus on it, and you'll see growth in it. Paul said in Colossians 1 that the fruit of the gospel came to you, the word of truth, and it bore fruit in you that believed. Isn't that awesome? It said it's bearing fruit in you that believe. When you believe the gospel, it bears fruit in you. So in Romans 10, Paul kind of gives us a beginning. We begin to see how this whole thing works. And you've seen this scripture before. Let's look at it with new eyes. In verse 8, chapter 10, verse 8, he goes through this whole thing talking about the law and how the law failed and there's a new way of righteousness. Then he's going to tell us how it works. He says, what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. It's the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be sozoed. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Let me say that again because it's great. For with the heart, out of the heart, man believes, boom, righteousness. Why? Because Jesus did it. Isn't that tremendous? He gave us a gift of righteousness, reference chapter 5. And with the mouth, this is really important, heart, mouth. Heart-to-mouth resuscitation here. If you get this, this is a principle of faith. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And I could go on. He says in verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be sozoed. How will they call if they don't believe? How will they believe if they don't hear? How will they hear without a preacher? They got to be sent. He says in verse 17, so then, now get this is important, Gary. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or some translations say, like your New International, New American Standard probably, the word of Christ. Same thing. So Paul talks about, and this is not the only place that he talks about it, or that Jesus talks about it. In fact, if you'll write in your notes next to this, in Mark chapter 4, in the parable of the sower, Jesus already outlined all this. He talked about seeds. And I'm going to show you in the scriptures, words are like seeds. They really are. So when bad seeds are thrown at you, Sarita, you got to swap them off. You can't take them. People are sowing bad seeds. What's a gossip is always a bad seed. Maligning somebody else, mocking somebody else, even if they're your favorite political pundits. I laugh at them, but it doesn't matter. It's bad seed. You're mocking people. We're not mockers. I'm a very conservative person. I'm not going to say that. Thank you, Jesus. I'll just keep that off the tape. But but we don't mock people. Why? Because words are seeds. So when we're receiving things, we got to make sure that our well stays clean. We don't want to receive junk. But the word of God is like a seed. And when the seed of the word of God goes down into your heart, it will produce something if you take it down in your heart. And the way it's activated then, according to the apostle, is through words, your confession. You hear the word. Say, for example, you hear the word on healing. Okay? I'm going to give you some text on this here today. It's going to help you. You hear the word on healing. And someone comes, and all of a sudden, the light bulb goes on. And you hear that word, and faith arises in your heart. And you believe that word, and then you express that faith right out of your mouth. Right? I believe that I receive my healing. I believe it. And it's done right there. Now, do you always see the manifestation of that healing instantly? No, you don't. You don't always see it instantly. But it'll manifest. It's just like your salvation of righteousness. When you're believing for righteousness, God's holy character, let's say. Do you always see it in someone's life right away? No, time will tell. It's not like that. Time will tell. It begins to change, begins to come. Now, some people don't change, and you have to wonder, did they really receive, or did they let go of the seed, or did they turn it loose? Because you can turn it loose when you're done. So hold your question to the end. I don't know if you're stretching or you had a question. Just hold it, just for the tape. Okay, so he says, faith comes by hearing. Now, and when he says the word of God here, he's actually talking about the spoken word of God. And flip over to Mark chapter 16, and I'm not going to go, I just want to read it as a reference. I'm ahead of myself, Jace, but if you can jump ahead and put Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. He said, go into all the world and preach the good news to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those that believe. So that's good enough. He said, so Jesus gave this commission. He said, go preach the gospel. He's saying, declare it. Okay. Give the whole counsel of God. Go preach the gospel. And that's exactly what Paul was doing in Rome, Corinthians, all these places. He was preaching the gospel. He was putting the seed of the word of God out there as he was preaching the gospel. Do men get saved where the gospel is not preached? No, they do not. It has to be preached and declared. Now, you can read the gospel. I know it's been written and recorded now, right? But it has to come alive into your heart. You can read it. You know, there are people all the time that read the Bible and they're atheists and they're reading it to debunk it. There's no faith in that. It's you believing and the Holy Spirit working that builds that faith in your heart. And faith really isn't hard. And I loved what Evelyn said today, because I like even that analogy of unbelief working against you. If all you need is a mustard seed of faith, then why doesn't more happen? Because we also are dealing with unbelief. I like that. I deal with unbelief. I'm after it right now. I'm after unbelief. I'm after it. I see unbelief, and I'm after that in my life to get rid of it. I want my heart to be pure and open so the word of God is unfettered in my heart. But, you know, we know that you're not always going to have someone going around and preaching to you, right? You can listen to tapes and you can listen to recordings. You can play your pastor. You can get Evelyn's. It's already up on the website, gracepointutica.org.com, either one. And you can listen to it over and over again. But you're not always going to have someone preach to you now. But that's originally how you hear. It's normally someone preaching. But a way that you can build your own faith is to take time in the Word of God. And I mean this. If you're going after something, give me the Psalms chapter 1. Did I have that down on there? If I didn't, I'll just turn to it. Psalms chapter 1, one of my favorite psalms in the Bible. And this will really help you. I know you know this, but you need to know it more. We need to know it more. If faith comes by hearing, if the word is a seed, then any time that you spend in the word of God is going to be profitable. The psalmist said, blessed. Did he mean blessed, or did he just mean he's religiously happy? He meant he's blessed. You're blessed. God's blessing is on you. Who is the man that walketh not in the flesh? It's one way to look at it. I tied this in the Romans 8. I have the Brad Interlinear Bible. I always tie Psalms 1 in the Romans 8. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, what happens to that guy or that woman? She shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth fruit in her season. Her leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does prospers. Who is that? The one that meditates day and night in the Word. So faith can come through the preaching and the declaration of the Word of God. You believe it? Or we can meditate with intention on the Word of God, take portions of the Word of God, especially areas sometimes that we might need help in, but take portions of the Word of God and digest them. When Paul's talking about meditation, he means to ruminate, or the psalmist, it means to ruminate, to chew on, to roll over, to consider, to mutter. I think the word is like chowy, and it's I can't pronounce it, but it means like to like a cow that's chewing the cud. You're rolling it over, you're chewing on it. That's what meditation is. So you go into the scripture and you ruminate on it. You meditate on it and you consider it. And you won't do that just one time. When you go into the scripture and you ruminate on it and allow it in, that stuff gets down into our heart and down to our spirit. And it becomes life to us. Do you know what I'm talking about? Amen. Amen. So we got to do that. And I do it all the time. I'm always ruminating in the Word of God and chewing on the Word of God. Now, after we meditate in the Word of God and we chew on the Word of God, of course we have to act on the Word of God, right? We got to act. But these things will help you in any area of your life, hearing the declared Word of God, receiving the Word of God, and spending time in the Word meditating. Now, we'll say, well, can you give me some examples in the Bible? I want to go back to this declaring the Word of God. In Acts chapter 11, in verses 13 and 14, it's really a beautiful scripture. Acts 11, and again, I'm being really deliberate here about my teaching, because I want you to get the information. He's talking about, I believe, Cornelius here, and I'll just read verse 13. I could read a lot more. He said, he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. So there's an angel that's talking to Cornelius and said, send for Peter, okay, who shall tell thee words. Isn't this good? Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Go get the angel said, go get Peter. Why didn't the angel preach the gospel to him? Why didn't the angel preach the gospel to him? It ain't his job. Mark 16 said, you go into, that is why it is our responsibility as a church to preach to this community at one level or another, all together, in unity, bonded together to win the city. If they get, some of them go to Utica Methodist, great. Church of Christ, great. But it's our job to declare the gospel, because people do not get saved. And get this, tell them words. There's got to be words spoken. And what happens when they hear these words? They get saved. Now, we know that when Peter was preaching there to Cornelius, we know that as he was preaching, the Holy Spirit just fell on all those guys. You see, and some people say, well, tongues was just so they can understand other languages. They were all Italian. They were all Cornelius and the Italian band. They didn't need tongues for interpretation. No, tongues was a sign that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, number one. In that case, it was definitely a sign to them. And number two, it was a sign that the Gentiles were accepted by God. I don't even think that even said a sinner's prayer yet. How dare them, right? Get filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't even know what if they prayed anything yet. But they believed the gospel. We know that, right? And the Holy Spirit fell on them. Isn't that amazing? How did that happen? Through words. Gospel words. As T.L. Osborne used to say, good news words. Good words. God's word. It's powerful. So it came by words. Okay, let's flip over here. Another neat lesson here in the book of Acts about words and how God uses them. I got two lessons. I'll probably get through one tonight, and that's fine. In chapter 14, just flip over, it says, and man, they get this. They in verse 6, it says they fled Lystra and Derbe in the cities of Lyconium and unto the regions that lied about. They were fleeing. They were being persecuted. Jesus said, when you get persecuted in one city, go to the next one, right? So that's what they were doing. And it says, when they got to the city, when they got there, verse 7, and there, what did they do? They preached the good news. That was their job. That's our job. He said, they preached the good news in that city. It's really, you can't just read the Bible. You got to read the Bible, okay? Because I want to show you the context of this. He says, and there sat a man at Lystra. He was impotent in his feet. He was a cripple from his mother's womb who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak. I wonder what Paul was speaking about. Good news. There were some healing seeds going out in his message. You know it. I'll tell you how you know it. He steadfastly beholding him, perceived that he had faith to be healed. He said with a loud voice, stand up on your feet. And the man leaped and walked. Now get this. Paul was preaching words. Paul was preaching gospel seeds. He had to be preaching healing because the man had faith to be healed. You get what you preach. If you preach salvation, you get salvation. If you preach Holy Ghost, people get filled with the Holy Ghost. If you preach healing, people get healed. It's all a part of what we used to call the full gospel. It's all in there, and you get what you preach, okay? So Paul, sometimes you got to cut through a lot of unbelief in yourself and others too. But he was preaching, and as he preached, he looked at the guy, and I've looked at many people, and I've had perception. I really have. I'm going to give you an example today at Watts. And it wasn't a healing perception, but how the spirit of it works this way. I know beyond doubt it absolutely works because it works all the time for me. I was sitting and I was tired. I don't know if you guys know, I was tired. I was sitting in there and I kind of wanted to go home, take a nap. I got up early this morning and all these waitresses, everybody didn't think a thing. And all of a sudden I saw a girl in a red hat and didn't know who she was. And I about jumped out of my chair trying to get her attention, right? I perceived that I needed to talk to her. It just grabbed my heart, just like that. All the other waitresses were coming and going, and I mean, it was a real perception. I was stumbling. Who? Hey, stop that girl. Stop her. What was her name? Was it Carrie, right? Carrie. I didn't know who it was. She came over to my seat. She goes, oh, hi, Brad, or what? She don't know if she knew my name. Hi. I looked up. I remembered her. She was a waitress I had invited to church about three times down at River's Edge. She sings. I gave her a word of knowledge down there. God wanted me to, she said she no longer works on Sunday and she couldn't come to church because she worked on Sunday. This all happened when nothing's going on. We're just eating lunch. And now Jace works with her and he can invite her to church. He can minister to her. I've always believed that girl's a singer. She likes to sing. She used to sing in a choir or something when she was younger. She no longer goes to church. She has a boyfriend. And Jace can now invite her to church. I know beyond doubt that was a perception in me. And the fruit of it was right there. I about stumbled, knocked Pam's seat trying to get her attention because she's walking away. I didn't feel like doing it. I was tired. I was eating and I just kind of was quiet. But there was a perception. Well, Paul had a greater perception because he was Paul. And when he saw him, he looked at him and he perceived that the man had faith to be healed. Now, isn't that something? He looked at him and said, hey, that guy's got faith to be healed. I had your word today, and I don't know how you took it or what, but I just had this. I didn't know who it was for, but the longer I looked at you, the more I perceived that was for you. And I really believed it, that word was for you, and that's why I had you stand up. I believe it now that was for you. There are vascular veins or something. I was speaking to your veins, and I believed you got something. That's a spiritual perception, and it grew and grew and grew until, boom, boom. And we all do that when you walk by faith. These things happen. So when he had this perception, he told the man to get up. And the man, what did the man do? Paul preached the word of God. Paul perceived, and then Paul commanded, right? He preached. He perceived, and then he said something. What did the man do? What did he do before that? What's the first thing he did? He heard. He heard seeds. He heard words. Your words, gospel words, our words. He heard the words of truth. After he heard the word, what happened? He had faith. Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing comes how? By the word. So he heard. What did he hear? He heard the word. Then faith came. And after faith came, third thing, then he heard, he had faith. Now, Sarita, he leaped up and got up. Paul told him to get up, and he acted on his faith. That's how it works. You hear, you believe it, you receive it, and you act on it. That's why I say only those that obey believe. Because, you know, at some point, you're going to act on what you really, really believe. I love this Vernon Smith. Dear man, he didn't look good last time I saw him. I don't know how, huh? Yeah, he did not look good. He came over here. I saw him with Bob Evans, but he was a wonderful man. And he told me, it was really wise. He said, Brad, people always act on what they really believe. And I never forgot. I thought that was so wise. People always act on what they really believe. They can say many things, but what they do, what they act on, is where they're really at. Now, that's not a condemnation, but it is a way to locate yourself, isn't it? What do I really believe, you know? And I'll mention money. I'm just among friends here, you know. Money's a great indicator of people's hearts, you know. People that love Jesus support the work of Jesus. They just do because it's in their heart. It's just easy. You know, you love the work of God. You believe in eternal realities. You're going to support eternal work. You're just going to. It's just a natural reality of it. It'll show in your pocketbook. And I look at you and I know, I believe all you guys in here are generous. So I can really say this with confidence that because you believe in the gospel, you give to it. That's because you believe. If you didn't believe in it, you'd have to try to beat it out of them, right? Or give you a pew with your name on it in the front, you know, the Anderson pew. They call them pews because they stink. Okay, Acts chapter 5. No, Acts chapter 8. We're still in Acts, okay? Hope my preaching manner is okay. I've been calm and deliberate. Probably won't be tomorrow. Okay, Acts chapter 5, verses 5 through 8. Acts chapter 8. Sorry. Last night I said Matthew 14 instead of John 14. It drove me nuts later. I'm like, why would I do that? I just do it. Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. What did he preach? Christ. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip what? Spake, right? Spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying out with loud voices came out of many that were possessed. Sounds like Jesus. And many taken with palsies and the lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. When the gospel comes in power to any city, there's great joy in the city when it comes to power. So what did Philip do? He spoke words. He preached the gospel. And what did they do? They heard the word. And when they heard it, what did they do? They believed it. Boom. And the results came. They got healed. So it always works, okay? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Okay, last one in this section here. And I'll go on a little bit. I got another lesson. My other lesson, which I want to honor our time tonight. But the other lesson is, what is faith? And I'll dip it, but I won't go all the way in because we are going to get out of here before 8 o'clock. My hope and my intention tonight is that we're heading in the right direction. We know where we're going with our faith. Okay, Mark chapter 5, verse 34. And you were in this today, Evelyn. I'm going to jump up a little bit and go to verse 32 verse 31, just to build some context. Mark 5, 31. And his disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be healed of your plague. Whose faith healed this woman? Her faith. Where was her faith placed? In Jesus. How do you know that she had faith? She did have faith. She heard about Jesus, right? She acted on her faith. This woman heard about Jesus, and she was hearing. And when she heard about Jesus, something happened. There was a dynamic in her heart that she believed. She said, and I don't have time to go into the whole text, if I can just touch him, if I can just touch the hem, Evelyn, the hem of his garment, if I can just touch him, I know that I'll be healed. Okay, and so, by the way, we touch Jesus now by faith. Woo, there's a sermon in there. She reached and she was cutting through the crowd and she reached in. Jesus didn't even know consciously. And she reached in and grabbed that thing. And just like she believed, it happened to her. Now, you know, Jesus didn't do it of his own volition because he didn't even know. He didn't even know who did it. Who did that? Who touched me? He didn't even know. But her faith seized his garment. And when she believed and she acted on that faith, bang, she got healed. The power of Jesus Christ went into her. And he told her, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Isn't that amazing? Do you believe that? Now, I know it's Jesus. Who's the one that healed there? Christ. Her faith was firmly, and this is important. We're not New Age people. We don't believe in healing crystals and healing gurus and mantras and chanting and, you know, saying things over and over again. So God, by your stripes, I'm healed. By your stripes, I'm healed. By your stripes, I'm healed. We don't believe in that. But we do believe in confessing our faith to Jesus. And we do believe in reaching in and touching his garment by faith, right? We do believe in that, right? So her faith was not in her faith in this sense. I mean, faith's a great thing. Her faith was in Jesus. She had her focus. Her focus was in Jesus. In Hebrews 12, it says that we focus on the author and the finisher of our faith. Our faith is always in the Jesus and his completed work, what he has already done. Our faith is always in the Word of God. Amen? Firmly rooted. That's why we don't have to let theologians or Bible scholars throw us. All we need to do, because I tell you, I've been down these theological roads. They will tell you that the stuff's not inspired. They'll tell you that some of it is, some of it. You can't believe how far they go. You won't even, if you go to most theological schools, you will not come out believing even half of what you believe right now about the Word. You'll be very smart. You'll be very educated. But if you believe them, they'll rob you. Our faith is in the Word of God. We believe it's inspired by God. And we know we have to rightly divide it. We know we have to understand it through the power of the Holy Spirit. But we put our faith in this Word of God, that this is God speaking to us, whether he's speaking it out of our mouths, whether we're meditating in it. And that's why when it says all the promises of God are ours in Christ, we can seize on that and we can believe it. Amen? Okay. Flip over to Hebrews chapter 11. Are you guys staying with me? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pam said I talked fast last night, did I? Yeah, all right. That's the truth. That's the truth. I always talk fast, Pam. Hebrews chapter 11. So then what is faith? Okay, so we know how, we know we got to have faith. We know faith springs out of the Word of God. Let me ask you a question. Can God speak to you yourself, not just like, I know it's all rooted. The Word of God is our fences. That's our boundaries, right? We don't wander beyond the boundaries. But can God speak to you directly? Yes. Absolutely. He speaks to me a lot. He speaks to you a lot, too. He does. He'll tell me things all the time. He doesn't necessarily get, like, go talk to your neighbor is not a chapter and verse. He doesn't say, you know, Mark chapter 5, go to your neighbor, right? He'll just say, go to your neighbor. You know, you'll look at someone, just whatever it is. He told me recently that he had a financial blessing for me, and I received it. I haven't seen it in my hand yet, but when he told me, I believed him. I still believe him. He told me. It didn't give me a chapter and verse, but I know it's under the umbrella of his will. How did you pick your wife? How did you know she was the one or your husband? How did you know they were the one? Did God tell you that they were the one? Yes. Yes. Who said yes? I said yes. Yeah, me? Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I knew so much that the Lord told me that Pam was the one, I almost ran away. Because I wasn't sure I was ready. You know what I mean? Like, I knew when I met many girls and fooling around and everything, you know what I mean? And God didn't say yes. But when I met Pam, God said, she's the one, and it scared me. Like, what? That's it? Pam's it? You know? I don't mean that in a bad way at all. You might think that. No, it's just the reality that this girl, but the Lord, what I'm saying is, I don't want to get too far off. The Lord spoke to me, and he speaks to us all the time. He tells us things. Now, I always say this, like Gary, that word I gave you today, that was very subjective. You know, it's subjective. I can't prove that was God speaking. The only proof there is always in the pudding, right? Right? There are some things, the proof, I know in myself, I had two dreams two nights ago, and they were absolutely God. I know it that I know it that I know it. I can't convince you of it. I can't give you chapter and verse. The Bible says that old men will have dreams. I'm 59. I guess I'm old enough to be an old man, right? And I believe with all my heart God spoke to me. I know he did, but that's more subjective, right? If you chose not to believe it, I can't blame you for that. Amen? So what I'm saying is God speaks to us in the Word, but he also speaks to our spirit. We don't always get a chapter and verse, but it should be under the umbrella of the Word of God. Let me make it real clear. If right now somebody came to you and said, well, I believe God told me I married the wrong person and that maybe this other person is more right for me, did God say that? It's not under the umbrella of God's word, is it? You know, real quickly, that's not God. That's not the Lord. You understand what? It's the devil or their own lust of their own flesh. People would do things because they're being drawn away by their own lust. So Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And this is kind of what Evelyn was teaching on, but I want to talk about the role of faith, and I'm going to really repeat just briefly what Evelyn talked about. Faith is bringing hopes, reality, or hopes, promises into reality. You're hoping for something. You have a desire for something. You have a goal for something. When you have faith, faith is the title deed. Faith is the certainty. Hope is not wrong. I talked to our dear sister before she died, came to this church, and she had hope always that God was going to heal her. That's the difference between hope and faith. Faith says, I am healed, and it knows it. It's a certainty. Hope is always, I believe I'm going to be, or this is going to happen someday. There's nothing wrong with hope. Hope is a wonderful thing. Without hope, we'll all give up. In the concentration camps, they said when a man gave up hope, they knew it because they started smoking their cigarettes. Why would you think that? Think about it. Why would people start smoking? Why did that mean that they gave up their hope? Because they used those cigarettes to stay alive. They would trade for food. That was their monetary, that was their cash. So as long as a guy kept his cigarettes, he had hope. He could trade and keep alive. But once they saw a guy smoking his cigarettes, they said he's a Muslim, which to them and their what they meant by that, he's a goner. That guy's dead. He's gone. And if he said, sure enough, in a few weeks, he was dead. He gave up hope. You need hope. If you don't have hope, you're never going to have faith, because hope is that goal, that thing that you're looking for. And actually, and the way some teach it, and I kind of like this, we have hope, and that hope causes us to pray. That hope causes us to call out. That hope causes us to reach. That hope causes us to stretch. That hope causes us to enter into the realm. It was hope when that woman first heard about Jesus. It was hope that got her up and said, what? She had a hope stirred in her. And as she heard more about it, somewhere along the line, that hope about Jesus turned into faith, where she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Some of us have hope for our kids. We're hoping someday that they're going to be saved. But when you pray and you veil and you call out to God, somewhere in your prayers, your hope turns into faith. When you take time to call your children's name out to God, sometimes in the middle of your seeking God, all of a sudden your hope turns into a raw belief that, God, you are going to save my kids. Satan, you cannot have them. God's promised me my kids. They don't belong to you. I'm under the covenant of Almighty God. And Satan, get your hands off my kids. They're not yours. We're going into the promised land. I'm going in. My kids are going in. My cattle's going in. And I'm walking in with Jesus, and I'm believing the word of God. Amen? Amen? That's what happens when you have hope. Hope will prompt you to pray. Hope will prompt you to seek God. Hope will pray. There's nothing wrong with hope. We need hope. Without hope, we're going to smoke all our cigarettes. Like Job's wife said, she gave up hope. She said, just curse God and die, or bless God and die. Amen? Hope's a good thing, but hope is not faith. I really believe sometimes faith, we got to spend time with God. I really believe. Otherwise, we'd all just be faith giants. I really, you know, I know it's there. I know we have it, but we got to spend time in God's Word. We need to spend time seeking God. The Word of God says that. And somewhere in our prayer life, Dr. Yonggi Cho has the biggest church in the world. And he said every time he believed God, he had to go to God in prayer and seek God and press into God. And somewhere in the middle of his prayer, his hope became faith. Amen. And once you gain that experience, once you have that experience, then you can walk in it. It becomes an everyday, you know, like an Andrew Womack reality where you're just walking in it. Sometimes you got to press through, and it is your hope in God that should prompt you to continue in pressing in. But when your hope becomes faith, faith is an actual substance. It's an actual evidence. It's an actual, you know that you have it. You know that you have it. Before you ever see it, you just know it. Now you're walking on water. Now you're walking by faith. You're beginning to declare things that are not as though they are, just like God, because you got faith. And faith ain't nothing to do with doubt. When you got faith, faith is faith. Faith ain't pretending. Amen? Faith's when you got it. Face the title deed. Face the evidence. What is your evidence, Brad, that God is going to bless you? My faith. My faith is my evidence. I believe God. I trust him. And then we know that Abraham believed God because his faith caused him to go all the way. He believed God so much that he took his son and was ready. He had that knife up because he believed, according to the writer of Hebrews chapter 11, he believed that God was going to raise him from the dead. That's how much faith. He had that knife back. He was ready. Ain't that amazing? That's faith. Unbelief kind of goes, well, maybe I'm hearing voices. You know, amen? Maybe I'm not hearing things. Faith in God, I love this. This is a quote from Brother Kenneth Hagin. He says, faith in God is faith in his word. Faith in God is faith in his word. Psalms 27:1 says, the Lord is the strength of my life. When you hope he's the strength of your life, you'll sit in your rocking chair and just keep rocking. When you know that he's the strength of your life, you'll get up and you'll act on that and you'll begin to move out in strength. You'll begin to do what God's told you to do. You'll begin, even if you don't feel it, even if you're weak, even if you don't feel the power, when you know it, yeah, Lord, you are the strength of my life, faith will get you up out of that chair because you know that the Lord is the strength of my life. Faith is certainty. And I'm not going to, faith is the evidence of things not seen. What time is it? Good. I have time. We got two more scriptures and we're going to wrap up for tonight. I did do a little preaching, but not too much. I like preaching. Sometimes you got to get the information out. Okay. I want to compare two different types of, believing, okay? And I already talked about Abraham. I'll go back to that just briefly, but I want to talk about the Thomas kind of faith. You want to know the Thomas kind of faith? Okay, I'm going to show you what it is. Chapter 20 of John, verse 24. The Thomas kind of faith. Listen. Chapter 20 in verse 24. Listen, we have to know God. And we know we grow in God. We grow in God. But we don't grow unless we're growing, right? Unless we're eating, unless we're chewing on the word, unless we're obeying, we have to grow in God. These things all come over time. God can, as Evelyn said so well today, God can give you a gift of faith, and he does often. But we need to grow in God. That comes out of relationship. Amen? Your healing and your blessing. All these things come out of a relationship with God. Look, God deals with us as people. God loves everybody in here. And he's not healing one person and not another because he loves one person more than another. He's not that way. But God's not a respecter of persons. He takes us all the same way. Every one of us go the same way, the way of faith, or we don't go at all, right? And he grows us and he does certain things because he's our dad and he knows what we need and he brings us along. But God loves, he's in relationship and he's jealous about that relationship. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to grow you. He wants you to come into your inheritance. He wants it. The word says it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants it more than you do. Remember I told you when I was cutting grass and I was talking to God about my son, you know, saying, Lord, and God said, Brad, who do you think wants your son saved, more me or you? Kind of, whoa, I said, well, you do. He goes, yeah. You don't have to ask me to save him. I want him saved more than you do. I go, well, that makes sense, God. Yeah, you do. Why would I ask you? Right? Start speaking it. That's why he's telling me. Start saying it. I believe God. Oh, I ain't going to go there. I believe God. Okay. Chapter 20, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we've seen the Lord. But he said, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. I will not believe. I got to see it. And after 8 days, the disciples were together, and Thomas was with them, and Jesus stood in the midst. He said, peace be unto you. Then he said to Thomas, isn't this great? Reach your hands forth, and behold my hands. Reach your hand, thrust into my side. Do not be faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, Thomas, you saw me. And that's why you believed. Blessed are those that have not seen and yet have believed. Isn't that rich? And you don't make this faith up. Either God or you don't. And you're honest with God about it and you seek him. And you trust him and you stay in relationship and you never blame God. It's never God's fault. Okay? Don't be hard on yourself. Don't condemn yourself. Don't walk in condemnation. You're not supposed to press into your Father. Now I want to show you, and I hit it before, and we're done. Romans chapter 4, this is how faith in the kingdom works. This is the Abraham kind of faith. Is this okay, guys? There's a lot more. There's a lot more. I mean, just as we dig into the man of God said, we need to feed on these things. We need to chew on them. We need to dig into them like they're our life. We got to grab a hold of them. We got to take, the word says, these are life unto those that find them. My word, Proverbs chapter 4, my words are life to those that find them. They're health to all their flesh. Blessed is the woman that has my words. Blessed is that woman. They're life to them, to the person that finds them. My son, listen to my commandments. My son, listen to my voice. I'm trying to help you. Listen to me. It's powerful. In Romans chapter 4, verse 17, we're going to see a different kind of faith. We'll go to 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be how? By grace. You don't earn it. To the end, the promise might be sure to all seed, not to only that which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickens or makes alive the dead, and calls things that be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, get this, here it is, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither did he consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Notice he didn't give glory to the devil. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Let me tell you what he did not consider. He did not consider his own body now dead. He could not have a kid. He was dead. Reminds me of a story. Don't have time to tell it. His own body. He didn't even consider the fact that Sarah's womb, she was an older woman, her womb was dead. He didn't consider that. He wasn't looking at that iceberg up on top, that 1 foot of water we drowned in. He wasn't looking at that. He wasn't considering that. He wasn't thinking about that. He wasn't thinking about his sniffle. Wasn't thinking about his impediment. What he was thinking about was the promise that God gave him. What he was considering was the word of God. And every time he looked at a natural circumstance, he looked at his natural circumstance rather than look at his body now dead. That's what it says, right, Tim? Rather than look at his wife, womb was barren. Rather than look at that, he turned his face away from that and he walked on the water of God's word and believed what God said. Isn't that powerful? Is that like Thomas? Thomas is just the opposite. I got to see it. I got to touch it. I got to feel it. Faith looks at God's word and God's promise, and faith calls God faithful. Now, you'll never know someone's faithful until you get to know them. You'll never know if someone's faithful until you learn to walk, you know, to trust them and come into a relation. Joe, I believe you're a faithful person, but I would never really know if I could trust you. If I said, Joe, meet me at here at 10 till and over about 6 months or 3 months, you were there every day at 10 till. And then all of a sudden one day came and you were late. I would know that you were faithful. I would know something happened because Joe's faithful. He's here every day at 10 till seven. He's faithful to be on time. I know that guy. So I know I can trust him. Something's wrong. Hey, Patty, what's going on with Joe? Oh, he can't get his car started. Blah, blah. His phone doesn't work. Blah, blah. You understand what I'm saying? Comes out of relationship with God. Comes out of knowing God. You know he's faithful. In Abraham's story, Abraham walked with God and God took him on a journey. And we always think it went like this, like Abraham walked. And you start when he began to talk to him in chapter 12 and go, no, Abraham's walk wasn't a straight walk. Abraham's walk was more like he started walking toward God and his walk was kind of like, you know, that's my sister, you know, that's my sister. And, I better get a Hagar. I'll have a baby with Hagar and I'll do that. And then he get it. But he always kept walking in his walk and over a journey. I don't know if it was 25 years or 30 years, but God perfected faith in him. And at the end of that time, he made that sacrifice and God had somebody that would offer their only son. And because God had somebody that would offer their only son, he can make a covenant with humanity to give his only son. Isn't that awesome? That was a relationship. Abraham knew God. He was the friend of God. And we need to be friends of God too, don't we? That's how our faith grows right there. I believe it. And I really hope that helps you tonight. I really do. Jace, you can stop the tape or the recording. Man, it's 7:59. Gary, go ahead.